coming into the presence of Christ. Our passage in Corinthians spoke of coming into Christ's presence. And I thought, what better passage that lined up with the lectionary than one that speaks of coming into the presence of Christ? Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A spectacular failure. So let's face it, anybody who watched us on Facebook last week knew that it was a spectacular failure. But I'm going to tell you, it was all my fault. We were trying to do too much. We didn't come early enough, meaning me. A piece of equipment broke and I didn't have a plan B. It was a failure. And people were angry. And I got calls and they told me they were angry. And I was certainly feeling like the clay jar that Paul describes. Certainly not like a shiny gold or silver vessel, all polished and, as my grandmother used to say, good for company. Nope. It was really obvious that I was nothing special last Sunday. And yet, to be here, to worship, to be with Carlos and Diane and Kathleen, I found grace upon grace and truly felt that the Holy Spirit was moving in this place. Otherwise, I can tell you, I would have just melted into the fetal position and called the whole thing off. A rabbinic tradition states, just as wine cannot keep well in silver or gold vessels, but only in the lowliest of vessels, earthen ones, so the words of Torah do not keep well in one who considers himself to be the same as silver or gold vessels, but only in one who considers himself the same as the lowliest of vessels, earthen ones. It's a good thing. Because any ego or thought that I possessed some super skill set was certainly brought low last Sunday. So what does it mean, in light of all this failure and mistake and human frailty, to be still in the presence of Christ? And is that even possible as mere humans? I believe it requires us to be fully present. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Everyone gets discouraged in ministry from time to time, even Paul. You see, the we and the I's in this passage are Paul referring to himself and perhaps other Christian leaders. The you is the church in Corinth. Paul at that time was being persecuted from without by the Romans and the Sanhedrin, and from within by the church in Corinth, questioning his leadership, even his skill set. And Paul knew, as he was aging, this was towards the end of his ministry, and he knew his body was weakening, and even Paul was beginning to question his own ability to minister just as the people were. And then Paul gives us this beautiful passage that reminds us it's not about us anyway. And it's certainly not about our own abilities, But the power, the very power of God working through these fragile and rather ordinary clay vessels to bring about the kingdom on earth. Because let me tell you, we will fail, but God never fails us. We will fail. We'll get discouraged. We'll experience pain and disappointment. But we will fail. But God will never fail us. But are we being fully present to God's grace, to this holiness, to this mystery of a never-failing God? Are we being fully present in our mind? Are we being fully present to the power of God in our lives? And what does it take to be fully present anyway? Do we let the things of this world drive us to destruction? If so, then we might just be lacking that presence. That might be the very reason that we are discouraged and our souls are disquieted. When we read the Bible, are we also glancing at our social media? When we pray, are we also recounting our errands and shopping lists? When we come into this place of worship to worship, are we also checking our phones and texting and seeing what the latest news or score of the game is? Or do we come with the intention of being fully present in this place to worship the Holy Triune God? Are we being fully present in faith, and are we being fully present in mind? So being fully present in faith, what does this mean? So most human fear is deeply rooted in a fear of the unknown. Why? It's why most of us fear death so much. Venturing into the unknown also brings up fear of being alone. If we don't know where we're going or how we're getting there, how will we know if there is someone to guide us? And let me tell you, this is how the human race has survived. This fear of the unknown has helped us from the very first time we began to form family units and tribes. This fear binds us together. And it also lets us keep out anything or anyone who might not look like us, think like us, act like us. But I'm going to tell you, God doesn't call us to tribalism. God calls us into community. And this is very different than a tribe. A calling to community requires us to be open, to let go of those fears, to be fully present to our faith, and to declare. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will bring us with you into Christ's presence. Community requires a faith that knows that all of this is just temporary. What is eternal is our life together in Jesus, together. Our differences, our appearances, our buildings, our traditions, all just these temporary tents, ready at any moment to be taken down, destroyed today, blown away. Thank you for the prayer for air conditioning. We sure got it. What is eternal is not the building or even the place we meet. What is eternal is our bond in faith and our faith in Jesus. This fully present faith requires us to put all of the tents in their proper place knowing that our dwelling is in God and God's dwelling is in us, and together we walk in this, knowing that this building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, is ours. We must be fully present in mind and faith, but are we being fully present in ministry with grace? In the movie It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey's guardian angel asks his superiors about George, saying, "Is he sick?" The superior answers, "Worse than that, he's discouraged." And I don't know about you, but there have been so many times this past year, this past week, this past Sunday, when I just wanted to give up, when I felt like George Bailey and was discouraged, or Paul, as he said, pressed, persecuted, struck down. I wanted to just go on some extended leave of absence from all things pandemic and request to somebody wake me when it's over. This tent that Paul talks about, this earthly tent, was groaning under the weight of protocols and family and quarantines and the illness and even death of those I loved. Yet I was also reminded each and every week by each and every one of you. I was reminded over and over again that grace given is grace received, and grace received is also grace given. And I was reminded by those around me, by Kathleen and her graceful, beautiful laughter, by Carlos and his ability to just roll with it, by Diane and all those who came and volunteered to make this day happen. They reminded me that God's grace was still present, and I was still present for and with you, and that God's grace together was present for me and for all of us. Paul makes it clear that this is for the sake of ministry. And in doing, as he says, everything for the sake of the church, he also received the gift of grace to keep ministry alive for himself and for all those he ministered and throughout the known world. Let me tell you, grace like love is not transactional. Grace is transformational. And all things transformational can only be received when given, and given when received. So being fully present in ministry and grace, I ask, are we also being fully present in the Spirit? Indwelling of the Spirit happens with or without or even during times of trouble. And God's indwelling is not dependent on our circumstances, only our faith. The extraordinary power belongs to God. And it is only in being fully present to the Holy Spirit of God working in and through us can we truly access this power. It's not of us. And when we lose sight of that, we risk losing sight of the Spirit's very presence in our lives. Yes, these failings, no matter how spectacular they are temporary. But the Holy Spirit in all of us is for eternity. So, Paul also asks, are we being fully present to the church? If every single thing goes wrong, breaks, ceases to work the way it's intended, grace still abounds. For these things are temporary, and God will prevail. Whether we meet here, in our homes, in the sanctuary, the grace of God follows us as long as we keep our treasure, which is God dwelling in us. And guess what? Lesson learned. pastor's not supposed to do it all. We, the body of Christ together in community, the church, is the living, breathing presence of Christ on earth. Therefore, these earthen vessels, these clay jars called our humanness, must be fully present to the church, the body of Christ in and with us. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. How do we not lose heart? By being fully present to the church at work in the world and in us. We can then see mere humans doing the very work of God, bringing love, hope, and every time I see Joey's masks, laughter and smiles, and grace to and with all the world. And that puts everything in perspective. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is renewed day by day. And let me tell you what we gain by being fully present. Being fully present allows us to experience the full presence. How do we experience the full presence of Christ in our lives? I believe Paul lays a case that in order to experience the full presence, we must be fully present. We are to focus on the inner nature of God dwelling in us, and this is how we enter into the presence. As Carlos read earlier, we should not focus on the temporary or the earthly, not even on the buildings and the technology and the beauty around us, but on one another and the full presence and power of God working in us. And by that and only that, we come into the very presence of Christ, not by our own doing, but by the power of God in us. And by that, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into the very presence of Christ. Us with you. Together we experience the full presence of Christ. Together we bring one another. When one of us stumbles and fails and feels discouraged, as the old song says, we lean on each other. We carry each other's load. The Jesus in me supports the Jesus in you. And the Jesus in you supports the Jesus in me until we can fully and completely come into the very presence of the living Christ as one. And this is our guarantee. Trials, failures, mistakes like these earthly vessels are temporary. God in us and God with us is eternal. The indwelling of God through the Holy Spirit lets us know now and here in this place and time. We have this guarantee of being in the full presence of Christ. Bishop Cynthia Harvey often says that in ministry we are going to fail by human standards. And there's a saying that says if you're not failing, you're not trying. Bishop Harvey tells us that when we do fail, we can just pray to fail forward. Last Sunday, in my opening illustration, I was careful not to use, last Sunday was not a dismal failure. No. It was a spectacular failure. And I say that with joy. Church happened. As we sought ways on the fly to keep it going and not give up, we learned so much. We learned what we can do. We learned what we can't do to make this new live and streaming service work. We acknowledged our human limitations and let the power of God take over. We were offered grace, and we were able to offer grace to others, and it was spectacular. So how about it? Are we even now leaning on one another to bring each other into the full presence of Christ? Christ's divine presence here with. And as we come together, bringing one another, sharing our heavy loads and our failures, leaning on one another, knowing that the extraordinary power of God dwells in us. And as we come together in Holy Communion later in the service, I'll invite you, lift your proverbial cup and feel the presence of Christ in this place. And to even say so, here's the failing forward, because we are not crushed or forsaken or destroyed. We might have got another chip in this old jar, but our treasure is secure. And we live in grace upon grace, in the very presence of Jesus, to declare we are one in Christ. This is our communion vow. Say it with me. One with each other and one in ministry to the whole world. Amen. So I'm sure you can kind of guess what song's coming. I invite you now, stand, sit, join us in failing grace.